RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Thursday morning to you. And man, are we in the thick of it? A lot happening around the city, around the state, around the sports world. Braves were in action last night. More importantly, 929 The Game is going to be live and popping. Atlanta Falcons training camp starting in an hour. The morning shift will get our live broadcast from Atlanta Falcons training camp over at Flowery Branch going. The morning shift will be live there as well as the Steakhouse. And Andy and Randy and Dukes and Bell is going to be live from Hooters in the Mall of Georgia. So a lot happening, a lot going on, but most importantly, we're holding it down at Atlanta Falcons training camp starting at 6 a.m. with the morning shift. So very excited. Make sure y'all tune in. If y'all are going to Atlanta Falcons training camp, make sure you go say what's up to everybody and take pictures, all that good stuff. Meet everybody from the morning shift, the Steakhouse, and Andy and Randy. And then if you need to go get a bite to eat, go say what's up to Dukes and Bell at Hooters. Okay. We got to talk about the Atlanta Braves, y'all, because I'm feeling a certain type of way this morning. I really am. At this point, I'm going to say it. I'm starting to get worried about Spencer Strider. He looked great for most of the game. Didn't finish the game really strong, though. Last two innings he pitched in the sixth and seventh innings, gave up two solo shots. It wasn't great. People looked like they were starting to catch up to his fastball. One of those. I do have to give a little credit to Rafael Devers. He just went down and got that slider. I don't think a lot of hitters could do that. So I will say that about one of the solo shots. But it does just feel like to me at this point that Spencer Strider is basically at the point where, yes, he's really good at times, but at times it's either strikeout or he's given up a home run for him. I mean, it just really seems that way. So I'm getting a little concerned. I'm getting a little worried. I can't lie to y'all. And look, I don't want to overreact to one start, but I mean, it seems like this has kind of been the theme for Spencer Strider all year, slightly, at least a little bit. In case you didn't know, Strider last night, he goes 6 1/3 innings. He did have 10 strikeouts, which a little bit of history there. This is the fourth straight start where Spencer Strider has 10 or more strikeouts and that is a Braves franchise record. John Smoltz previously held the record with 3 straight starts with 10 or more strikeouts. So he's at 199 strikeouts at this point. Pretty good chance he'll get to 300, especially if he stays on the pace he's on right now. He'll definitely get there easily. But again, I'm just a little and I just saw this stat. They're 20-4 this season, the Red Sox are, when they wear those yellow jerseys. So no wonder they're hot. They've been wearing these yellow jerseys. They wore them in both games against us. I think it said they were 5-0 in the last 5 times they've worn them. So there you go. But back to Strider's stat line. 6 1/3 innings, gave up 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 of them were earned, a walk. As I told you before, 10 strikeouts, gave up those 2 home runs. Again, I don't want to say I don't trust Strider. I'm just making observations here. And the observation I'm making is Spencer Strider is giving up a lot of home runs. And he's given up more home runs than I necessarily feel comfortable with. Because when you throw as hard as Spencer Strider does, a lot of people aren't going to catch up to it. But when you get to the postseason, you get some good hitters going up against you, guys who can catch up to your fastball. I understand the slider is very much improved from last year. I get all that. The slider is nasty. The Strider slider, I understand. But when you got 2 pitches like that, I know he can work in the changeup a little bit. That's something he's starting to work on. But when you primarily have 2 pitches, the slider and the fastball, you get in the postseason. If hitters start sitting on that fastball, which they're going to get to, and if they can catch up to it, that could cause trouble. Again, I'm not saying I don't trust him. I'm not saying I don't want him out there. I'm just saying part of me is starting to get worried. If you want to know how many home runs Spencer Strider has given up, I'm going to tell you here in just a second. But if you haven't heard, though, Braves lose 5-3. They were up 3-0 after an Ozzie Albies 3-run home run. Then Strider gives up the 2 solo shots. Then Pierce Johnson comes in, and he almost is able to close the door. He has 2 outs with runners on 2nd and 3rd, then gives up a double off the Green Monster, and that gave the Boston Red Sox lead for good. Looked like we were going to try and rally against Kenley Jansen, but then Forrest Wall got thrown out at 2nd after he came in as a pinch runner. They had runners on the corners. They tried to get runners on 2nd and 3rd. He got thrown out, and then that was pretty much all she wrote for the Braves. So just a frustrating last 2 games for the Atlanta Braves, quite honestly. Feels like you should have won that game yesterday. Then you get mollywopped in that first game against Boston, 7-1. Again, no need to overreact. Still have a very sizable lead. Pretty sure it's still double-digit lead in the NL East. But just a frustrating past few games. And also, too, the Braves have lost 7 out of their last 10, I believe it was, or is. I'll double check that here in a second for you. But it's just the Braves have been in a rut. And after the month of June that they had, again, we got spoiled, y'all. We just got straight up spoiled. And we're ready for the Braves to come out of this run. We're not used to the Braves losing a game, winning a game, losing 2 games, winning a game. We ain't used to all that. We're using them winning series and winning 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games in a row. Then maybe dropping 1. And then going back on an extended winning streak. Let's see. How many home runs has Spencer Strider given up? I'm checking StatMuse right now. So you just hope the Braves can return back home and get something going up against the Brewers. Johnny Chirinos is going to start our one of our latest acquisitions, the pitcher from the Tampa Bay Rays, who we just acquired, going to start against the Brewers tomorrow. Braves got off day today for traveling purposes. I'm still looking up how many home runs Spencer Strider has given up in 2023. So he's only, in 21 starts, he's given up 18 home runs. I don't love that, though. I really don't. That's almost at least one homer a game. I mean, it's pretty close. He's three off from that. So I don't love that from Spencer Strider. 18 home runs given up this season. It doesn't seem like a lot in the grand scheme of things, but when you've started 21 games, that's a lot. So, just feeling this morning when it comes to the Braves. Like, can we get out of this rut we're in? Also, some other Braves notes for you. Braves have scored three or fewer runs five times in the past nine games after doing that just twice in the previous 26 games. So, Braves offense has gone cold a little bit. And look, we knew, and I tried to get y'all ready for it, we knew the Braves weren't going to stay on the pace that they were on in June, okay? It just wasn't humanly possible. I mean, I guess it was, but you just knew baseball especially doesn't work like that. You're going to go through slumps. You're going to go through struggles. But, hey, look, that's why the Braves built up this big lead, so you could have some wiggle room, so you could go through a stretch like they're going through now. So, again, it's not the fact that you're worried. It's just the fact that you know this team can play better than this, and when the Braves have a 3-0 lead getting towards the second part of the game, you feel good about, or you should feel good about, and you would feel good about the Braves holding on to that lead, but wasn't the case last night. So, again, just frustrating. But hopefully the Braves can bounce back against the Brewers starting tomorrow, and hopefully they can get themselves a nice W and just get back on the mend and get back to winning ways. I mean, if we take a peek at the schedule and what they have coming up here in the next couple of weeks or so, obviously got a three-game set with the Brewers starting tomorrow, as I've told you already. Then Shohei comes to town, who's not getting traded. They have confirmed that Shohei is not going to be on the trading block. You take on Shohei, Ohtani, and the Los Angeles, and Anaheim Angels, I guess I should say. And look, that's a team that's okay, 52-49, team over 500. Got to take them serious. I mean, you take every team serious, but still, you know what I mean. Then you got the Chicago Cubs, Dansby, traveling out to Chicago. That won't be here in Atlanta. That will be in Wrigley. But Cubs at 50-51, meddling around 500, so they're solid. The Pittsburgh Pirates, then, you should be able to beat up on them. The Mets, you would hopefully be able to beat up on them. The Yankees after that. Then you got the Giants, who are a solid team. Then the Mets again, the Giants again, then the Rockies. Hopefully you beat up on them. And the Dodgers to close out the month of August. So, look, you're in a stretch where, you know, you're going to have some series that you should be able to win, but you're also going to have some series that are tough. So, the Braves are going to have to power through this stretch. And look, when you're the best team in baseball, which the Braves are still the best team in baseball, you got to find a way to limit these bad stretches, limit these ruts. Limit these games that you drop. And hopefully the Braves can do that. Get a win in Milwaukee, in Atlanta against Milwaukee, and get back to winning series, get back to winning ways, and get back to at least looking like the team, some part of the team that they were in June. So, again, Braves lose 5-3. Frustrating game. You're up 3-0. You're feeling good after Ozzie Albies hits that three-run home run, and then Strider gives up two solo shots. Pierce Johnson gives up a couple of runs. One of those, again, did go to Strider. But just overall frustrating. So, all right, when we get back, we got to take a trip around the A because we got some more Braves news for you. Also, one of our local teams is going international. We'll talk about it all next. Give me 5 minutes and we'll take a trip around the A right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Morning Sports Fix.
Blimey's like this. Let's go, let's go.
This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. I hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, early morning, late night, Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early gym goers that got the good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to my people already at work or on their way to work. I know you. I'm with you. I feel the vibes. And shout out to my people that's just in the bed right now, chillaxing, getting their mind right before they get up to go to work and tuning into the show. I appreciate you as well. Again, Braves lose 5-3 yesterday, last night, to the Boston Red Sox. And again, what was a frustrating game. Ozzie Albies up 3-0, puts the Braves up 3-0, 3-run home run. You're feeling good. You're like, all right, Spencer looks like he's going well. We got this. And Strider gives up 2 solo shots again. Rafael Devers kind of went down and got one. That's more of a good piece of hitting by him instead of a bad pitch by Strider, because that Strider slider was low that time. So I do have to give credit there for Strider and give credit to Devers because he went down and got that pitch. But then he gives up the other one. And then Pierce Johnson comes in, doesn't have a great first appearance. Couldn't get the last out before giving up a 2-run double that gave the Red Sox the lead for good. But we got other matters to get to because guess what? 92.9 The Game's live at training camp. We also have another piece of Braves news that isn't great but isn't terrible. And like I told you, one of our local teams is going international. Let's take a trip around the A.
It's time for a look at our local sports scene. This is Around the A on the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews.
Let's start where we need to start, and that's with the Atlanta Falcons. They are at training camp as day two of a full Falcons training camp is getting underway today. And it's going to be very interesting to see the Falcons continue their training camp and getting ramped up. And we've already had a couple of cool stories come out of training camp. The funniest being Arthur Smith's mustache. And he said, you know, it's a lifestyle choice and not everybody's built for it, basically. So that was funny. And he said, when he was followed up with that by asking how long he's going to keep it for, if he's going to keep it for the whole season, he just said, yeah, we'll see where it goes. So Arthur Smith is funny, man. He's got like that dry sense of humor. Like, you can't really tell if he's making a joke or if he's serious, but like you kind of know he's making a joke. It's that kind of sense of humor that Arthur Smith has. Just that real dry sense of humor, but it is funny. So Arthur Smith's rocking the stash and the stash alone. No beard combo, no goatee with it. Just the straight up stash. And there was a side-by-side of Arthur Smith and Spencer Strider. So that's funny. Got some big stashes rocking here in the A. But Atlanta Falcons training camp is underway, and they'll continue that today. Again, morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy going to be broadcasting live today, tomorrow, and all of next week, Monday through Friday, from training camp. We'll have shows on Saturday as well, live from training camp. I will be out there this Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Then Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson will do a show from Falcons training camp from 10 a.m. to noon. So come say what's up to the boy from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you're going to be out there for Atlanta Falcons training camp, I'll be out there. Come say what's up. We can flick it up. You dig? I'll be there to watch practice as well. Hopefully do some post-practice interviews. And if we do that, I'll definitely bring those to you on the program as well on Monday. So that's a look at what we got coming up and what we're doing at Falcons training camp here the next few days and over the next week. But Falcons training camp still getting it going and cranked up. The Braves. Obviously, they lost 5-3 yesterday. We talked about that. But some other news came from the Braves as well. Max Fried, due to an illness, was scratched from what was going to be, most likely, his last rehab start. He was supposed to make that yesterday, but was feeling ill, feeling under the weather. And he did not end up making that start. And they're going to reschedule his start for either today or tomorrow. Oh, they're going to announce when his next start will be, I should say, today or tomorrow. So not sure when his next start will be yet. The Braves will announce that today or tomorrow. But Brian Snicker was asked about it, and he said it wasn't anything serious, just feeling a little bit ill, feeling a little bit under the weather, nothing to be concerned long-term about. So Max Fried just not feeling great, so got scratched from his rehab start. The only bad part about this is that it just delays when he's going to be back on the mound for the Braves a couple of more days, and that obviously is not good because we want Max Fried back on the mound. We want our ace back sooner rather than later. So that is a little bit of bad news there. But he will be he'll be fine. Just got to make one rehab start, and he'll be back with the Braves. I do have to let you know before we get to our local team that's going international. Team USA, speaking of international, they're continuing group play in the Women's FIFA World Cup. And they played to a 1-1 draw with the Netherlands last night. Lindsey Horan scored the equalizing goal from Team USA in the 62nd minute. And Team USA was down for, obviously, a good portion of this game. Netherlands scored in, I believe, the 17th minute, if I remember correctly. But I saw an interesting stat about the U.S. Women's National Team that I have to pull back up here for you. But all good, though. They played to a draw. Netherlands, we knew that would be a tough match. I mean, that's who they played in the final during the last Women's World Cup in 2019. And they ended up beating the Netherlands 2-0. But still, yeah, we knew it was going to be a tough game. Obviously, this is a team in the Netherlands that has aspirations to win it all and stop the U.S. Women's National Team from winning a third straight FIFA World Cup. So Lindsey Horan, I told you earlier, scored the equalizing goal in the 62nd minute. Since the 2011 Women's World Cup, the U.S. Women's National Team has scored 14 goals from set pieces, and that's tied with Germany for the most over that span. Obviously, that goal last night came off a set piece. And the other stat that I was looking for you is the U.S. Women's National Team had gone 17 straight matches without trailing at the Women's World Cup, and that's the longest streak by any team in the tournament's history. So, wow, 17 straight matches they've gone without trailing in the Women's World Cup. But obviously they were trailing last night because the Netherlands got on top first. They struck first early, but it was good to see the women's team battle back, answer to the adversary, and get the game even. And even though they couldn't pull out the win, it's in group stage. You'll take the draw for sure, especially against a very good, again, Netherlands team that they faced last night. So the women playing to a 1-1 draw, and they'll be back in action here in the next couple of days to continue the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup. All right, I've been teasing this. One of our local teams is going international, y'all. The Atlanta Hawks announced yesterday that they are going to be playing in Mexico City on November 9th in a game against the Orlando Magic. And so this got me thinking, are we one day going to have multiple international teams, not just the Canadian teams that we see that we have in the NHL and the MLB and obviously in the NBA, but are we going to have multiple international teams, like a team in Mexico City, a team in Germany, teams in London, across the NFL, NBA, and MLB? I think it's only a matter of time, to be honest. We know what the NFL is trying to do. when we talk about international expansion. The Falcons have a game in Germany. Germany or London? I can't remember. Actually, I think they're going to London to play the Jaguars. Anywho, you get what I'm saying. They're playing games all over. The NFL is. The NBA, obviously, now going to Mexico City. The Atlanta Hawks are going to be a part of that. They've played international games before as well. They've played preseason international games for a few years now. And then the MLB, they've already got teams in, or they have a team in Toronto. So, look, these sports leagues, they want to go global. They want to get that global money. They want that global exposure. And, I mean, how can you blame them? I mean, obviously they want to grow their respective sports as much as possible. The MLS is going to obviously try and do it as well. I mean, it's going to probably be a little bit tougher because of, you know, the sport that's already international in soccer. But it's definitely going to happen. I don't have any doubts about that. It's only a matter of time. I think we'll get, sooner rather than later, NFL teams in Germany, in London, maybe another one somewhere in Europe. I think that's going to happen. I think the NBA is going to end up expanding their franchises to possibly somewhere in Europe, maybe London. So I think we're definitely on that path, and it's only a matter of time. Not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, next year, over the next 2 years, maybe not even over the next 5 years, but it's around the corner, relatively speaking, when we talk about sports teams and sports leagues going full-on international. Again, not just teams in Canada, because obviously we already have that with a lot of these sports leagues, but getting teams in, again, Mexico City, Germany, London, and places like that. It is Around the A on the Hometown Take right here with your boy Dylan Matthews. Like I was saying, taking a spin around the A here, and I do want to get into Falcons training camp a little bit more, because I have some takeaways from Atlanta Falcons training camp yesterday. Some things that I've seen on the interwebs, things I've seen on the Twitter, and I think is actually pretty interesting. So the first takeaway that I saw that I want to make sure I get to is that AJ Terrell, Jeff Okuda, they were taking first team reps at the outside corner positions. That's no surprise there. But guess what? At the nickel, not Mike Hughes, who they acquired in free agency, but D. Alford was taking first team reps at the nickel spot. Now, I don't know if this is because D. Alford is a little bit more familiar, obviously, with the organization. Obviously, they're both, D. Alford and Mike Hughes are learning a new system because Ryan Nielsen, new defense coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. But I just think it's interesting. D. Alford getting the first team reps over Mike Hughes. So I don't know what that is. And again, look, it was only the first day of camp. So again, it could be probably a familiarity thing. But you expect to see Mike Hughes most likely at that starting nickel spot. Again, we've been talking about Clark Phillips, the rookie out of Utah, who the Falcons drafted this year, could be a guy that could challenge Mike Hughes for that spot. But you really didn't expect D. Alford to be in that mix. But right now, it seems like he is. And again, look, it was the first day. There are a lot of factors that play into who's getting first-team reps on the first day. So it's something to watch. It's something to look out for as training camp continues on. But nothing to overreact to, like, oh, why do we sign Mike Hughes if he was only going to be a second-teamer? Look, it's the first day. Don't get too caught up in the noise right now. One thing that is also interesting to me, too, is Lorenzo Carter, as he did in OTAs and some of the spring practices, he was taking reps as a down lineman instead of his standing up role that he did in Dean Pee's defense last year. So he was more of an outside linebacker and was in a two-point stance last year. And he only was in a two-point stance last year in that DNP's defense. But taking some reps as a down lineman, maybe a true defensive end in Ryan Nielsen's defense. So that is interesting because I do think there is going to be some shakeups. And there are going to be some differences when we talk about just the philosophies of Dean Pease's defense and Ryan Nielsen's defense. I think there are going to be some differences, and that could be one right there where maybe having more true defensive ends. We know Calais Campbell's going to play that true defensive end spot, but Lorenzo Carter looks like maybe he could be on the opposite end of Calais at times. We'll see. I thought that was pretty interesting. Also, last bit of news I want to get to as far as takeaways from Falcons training camp. Troy Anderson and Caden Ellis took most of the reps as interior linebackers with Michael Walker. So those are probably going to be your inside linebackers if I had to guess. And that doesn't really come as a surprise. I think a lot of us had Caden Ellis and Troy Anderson pegged down as the inside linebackers. So a couple of takeaways from Atlanta Falcons training camp. And again, 92.9 The Game is all up in Atlanta Falcons training camp. The morning shift, who they'll be talking to you here in about 25 minutes. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson, they're broadcasting live from Falcons training camp along with the Steakhouse and Andy Arane. And again, Dukes and Bell going to be at the Hooters in the Mall of Georgia. All right, when we get back, we'll continue to talk about Atlanta Falcons training camp, and we'll let you hear from Arthur Smith. We'll let you hear from Cordell Patterson. We'll let you hear from Desmond Ridder. And we'll see what the vibes are like at Atlanta Falcons training camp. That's all next. Give me 5 minutes and we will talk more Falcons football and talk about Falcons training camp being in full swing right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. Hope you are doing well. Y'all know what it is. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, early morning, late night, Uber and Lyft drivers, all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early, all my people already at work or headed to work. Shout out to all my people listening in the bed as well. I appreciate y'all too. All right. Just got done talking a little about some takeaways from Atlanta Falcons training camp. And I think we all have come to the consensus as Falcons fans that the Falcons should be a playoff team this year. A couple of shows ago, probably what, last week, I told you all why I think the Atlanta Falcons will win the NFC South. And I say all this because Arthur Smith yesterday spoke to the media after day one of Atlanta Falcons training camp. I shouldn't say day one. Day one of everybody being there, the veterans reported yesterday. But yesterday, Arthur Smith spoke to the media, and he talked about the expectations for the Falcons heading into the season.
I think every team you've got is going to be different. Certainly, we're not dealing with some of the same obstacles or challenges that we've had, and you're at a different point in the program. But your expectations need to be high every year, and you've got to prove that. Whether you're coming off a Super Bowl win or you're coming off a crappy season, when you're coming in here, you've got to earn that. Every team's going to be different. No matter how many players you bring back or, you know, new players, every team's, it's, you know, it's going to have its own story. And that's the hardest thing. Not only is it achieve success in the NFL, but you've got a lot of respect for people that sustain success. Obviously, we need to. You know, our goal every year has been, no matter who we've had here or what the challenge has been, we've tried to fight like hell to get into the playoffs. But certainly nobody's going to have higher expectations than I do for this team and myself.
Nobody's going to have higher expectations for this team than obviously the team and Arthur Smith himself. By the way, Arthur Smith is going to be on the Steakhouse to kick off the Steakhouse at 9 a.m., so make sure you're tuned in for that. Arthur Smith will be on the Steakhouse at 9 a.m. this morning. So he realizes that the team doesn't have the obstacles and the hurdles, as he called them, that they had the past 2 years. Obviously, he's talking about the salary cap restraints and not being able to necessarily build the roster that he would like to and Terry Fontenot would like to. They didn't have that problem this offseason. Went out, spent a lot of money. Got Bijan in the first round with the 8th overall pick. We'll get to him in just a second as well. But he still says the expectation is and always has been the postseason. And look, it was good they went 7-10 the past 2 years, and that was a great coaching job done by Arthur Smith. But I think at the end of the day, we believed that there was an outside chance that the Falcons could make the playoffs, but I think we all knew as Falcons fans it probably wasn't happening. But this year, we expect it. And Arthur Smith knows that's the expectation as well. Want to let you hear another from Arthur Smith. Here's the head coach talking about the team identity this year and how they're going to improve.
The way that we want to play on the lines of scrimmage, but we'll evolve. You know, we'll evolve to the strength of our personnel. You know, guys, and we try to focus a lot on daily improvement. I mean, I think it's whether you have great expectations or low expectations, you've got to go earn that every day, and you've got to be able to correct certain things that when you challenge players, if they may make an early mistake and not to repeat it. But as identity, I mean, we want to continue to build. I mean, we want to be a very physical team up front, and we want to be evolving. We want to play to the strengths of our personnel, and we want to be a smart football team. You know, we did a decent job not trying to hurt ourselves. Pre-snap penalties, those are the things that you can control. Now we got to get better. You know, we were low in penalties, but we had some critical penalties and we had some touchdowns called back. We had some turnovers in the red zone. Those are things to take the next step. You know, you can look at any advanced statistic and make yourself feel good or bad. At the end of the day, we got to take another step, and we got to continue to put, you know, touchdowns on the board. And we got to continue to get off the field and get into some advantageous pass rush situations. So those are things to take the next step. But our identity up front, we're going to be a smart physical team. And I know every coach kind of says that and you don't emphasize it, but we've tried to emphasize that. And we feel like we've got things to back that up.
There's Arthur Smith, a little long-winded on the team's identity, but hey, he had a lot to say. I ain't mad at it. He wants the team to have an advantageous pass rush, put touchdowns on the board. Things you love to hear, but obviously we need to see. So, another takeaway that I wanted to give you, but I saved because I knew I had some sound to go along with it, is Matt Hennessy took the first team reps at left guard. And look, this is not a surprise at all. Matthew Bergeron is a rookie. Even when Kyle Pitts was a rookie, he was the second string tight end. So, they make the rookies earn it. They're not just going to put them on the first team right away. They're not going to give them first team reps right away. Now, he was taking second team reps. Matthew Bergeron was with Kyle Hinton. But Arthur Smith talked about that yesterday, and he says, look, if Matthew Bergeron proves he's the best left guard on this team, then he's going to play.
With Matt, you know, if he's again, he'll have every opportunity to earn if he's ready to go, and, you know, the best guy will play. But I think starting out, it's a long journey. You know, you've got these three preseason games. We'll have the joint practice with Miami. A lot of games. You know, you've got the three preseason games. You've got 17 regular season, and you're hoping to play a few more after that. And with all the rookies or young guys, if, you know, whether it's at the – there'll be great competition across the board, whether it's inside a corner between D and Mike Hughes and Clark. Best guy will play. And they're, you know, you certainly anticipate with certain veterans that you hope they're able to help you. But if there's a young guy that's better than one, that's, I'm not doing the team, doing my job if I'm not playing the best guy.
Well, there you go. He also dove into Clark Phillips and Mike Hughes and D. Alford as well. And I talked about that when I was giving you my takeaways from day one of full Falcons training camp, everybody being there. Is that D. Alford was taking the first team reps other than not Mike Hughes, and obviously Clark Phillips wouldn't be taking the first team reps on day one, just like Matthew Bergeron isn't. So, again, the rookies want to play. The rookies got to prove it. And Arthur Smith says, look, the best guy's going to play. If Matthew Bergeron proves he's the best guy, then he's going to play. Okay, want to get to one more before we talk to the morning shift. Cordarrelle Patterson was talking about the plethora of weapons. And look, this is a reason I told you the Falcons are going to win the NFC South, because Desmond Ridder is going to have so many targets to throw to. The defense is not going to know who to pay attention to. And Cordarrelle Patterson piggybacked off of that. And he said, Desmond Ridder, he's going to have a plethora of weapons to throw to.
You just got to pick one to throw it to. I mean, we would like to get in and talk to him, but, you know, we feel confidence in our group. You know what I mean? As you should. You know, you shouldn't think you got the worst team in the league or the best team. You should always have confidence. And confidence in this league to get you a long way. So we all got confidence in each other, man. We compliment each other. So we believe it's going to be a good year for us.
We believe it too, Cordarrelle, and especially because Cordarrelle Patterson is one of those plethora of weapons Desmond Ridder is going to be able to throw to. All right, we got to talk to the morning shift. We'll do that here in about 5 minutes. So we'll hand things off to them, and we'll wrap things up here on a Thursday edition of the Hometown Take right here in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.